whole load of chapters in the middle about the good news, and then we come to the very end of the gospel, Mark chapter 16, back on page 1023. And we read this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll up the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Let's ask for God's help, shall we, as we consider his word together. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, our Father, we thank you that you have given us facts, truth, history to guide us and to teach us and to direct our paths into the path of trusting Jesus. And we ask this morning that as we consider what is a familiar story to some of us, you would cause our hearts to rejoice that Jesus lives. And we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
If you had to, okay, imagine, you've got to work with me for a moment, but imagine that you had to pick an image, just one picture, to represent Easter Sunday. What would it be? You know, imagine that I gave you the job. You're like the marketing manager for Easter Day. Okay, Resurrection Day, biggest moment in kind of church history, in the history of Jesus. What image would you pick? I know it's an open question. You can participate. We're allowed to do that here. What would you pick?
Jesus.
Jesus? What's that? Jesus? Dressing a crowd, yes. So a live Jesus, that would be a very good marketing campaign. What else would you pick?
The tomb.
The tomb. That's very common, isn't it? So kind of that picture of the stone rolled away. That could be the image to represent Easter Day. Good. Anyone else got a picture?
The cross.
Well, that was a good one for Good Friday. But we could pick that one for Easter Day as well. Any others? The angel. Now that would be a good one, wouldn't it? The angel sitting at the end of that slab of stone where they laid Jesus' body. But nobody, just Jesus. Good. Well, listen, I've got one for you today. Okay, I'm going to put myself forward as the marketing manager. And here it is. I doubt that many of us would have picked this image. But here it is. It's the image that we find in Mark chapter 16 and verse 8. Are you ready? This is my marketing campaign for Easter Day. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Here it is. You ready for my marketing campaign for Easter Day? What? You're laughing. This is my marketing campaign. I spent ages working on this. This is Easter Day. Now listen, before you all work out, I need to explain why I think this is an amazing image to represent Easter Day when we gather like this. Because it's an image, you see, that reminds us that what happened on that Sunday was something out of the ordinary. It was an extraordinary event in history. Sometimes we gather like this, certainly if you've been hanging around church for a while, and we talk about a man who rose from the dead, and we all sit here, oh yes,
yes,
a man rose from the dead. That's not normal! And it produces this kind of effect in people when you encounter it for the first time. Jesus lives. And this reaction, this picture that Mark leaves us with of three trembling, bewildered, afraid women reminds us of a really important truth about that day, Easter Sunday, the day we're celebrating today. And it reminds us very simply this: the resurrection is good news. The resurrection is world-changing, world-transforming good news. It was out of the ordinary, extraordinary, into normal everyday life. These women, just ordinary women, who went to a tomb and expected to kind of lay flowers, as it were, at the tomb. That's normal. But this day was not normal. And it left them absolutely terrified. And as we look at those women, as you look at my marketing campaign, and we see, oh look, it must be Easter Sunday. What does these three trembling women tell you? Something extraordinary happened on that day, and it was good news. It was good news. You might be thinking, hang on a minute. If I saw three trembling women coming down the street, I wouldn't think they've just encountered good news. Would you? If you saw three women running towards you, absolutely terrified, you think, what's happened? What on earth has happened? Something awful must have happened. Look at their faces. But actually, it would make you ask, but what did happen? And I want to show you that what happened on that day is out of the ordinary good news. Because every time that we meet this reaction in Mark's gospel, this trembling, fearful action, it's always because people have seen something extraordinary. They've seen God do something in the world that is not normal. So the times that you meet this reaction in Mark's gospel is when Jesus calms a storm in a word. That's not normal. That's something that God does in the world. Every time you see Jesus doing a miracle, he heals a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. No doctor could help her. And in a moment, in a touch, he heals her. And what's the reaction? Everyone's trembling and bewildered. Why? Because God's just broken into the normality, the ordinary of life, and done something extraordinary. When Jesus raises a girl, a 12-year-old girl who sadly dies, he raises her from the dead just by picking up her hand. That is not normal. Go to North Mid Hospital. You will find out that is not normal. And what is the reaction? Trembling, bewildered, afraid. Why? Because God has done something. He's broken into the ordinary and he's done something extraordinary. And everybody's like, what is going on here? This is the reaction that reminds us that something extraordinary happened on that day in history. Jesus is God doing something among us. We are seeing God at work. The resurrection of Jesus is good news, or we could say it is God news. It is world-changing, world-transforming news where God steps into the world and does something. And as we gaze on those trembling women on this Easter Sunday, it reminds us that this day that we celebrate in history, and it is history. You know, recently they did a survey on whether people believe the resurrection or not. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's history. Since when do you decide history on a public opinion? It happened. It's a day in history and it was out of the ordinary. And these women remind us that's true. It is good news. World-changing good news. Now, I don't mean good news like your team won football yesterday, although some people's team did. And I don't mean it's good news like, you know, Tesco's has got an offer on Easter eggs, although they do. And by the way, you should go and get some because they're good. Nothing to do with Easter, but it's chocolate. It's not that kind of good news. Now, this is news that turns everything upside down. It changes reality. Do you see that? Ordinary women working their way to the tomb, going to anoint Jesus' body. That was normal. That was reality for them. Someone dies, you go to their grave. But actually, on this day, something out of the ordinary happened. And we need to understand, as we go back to the beginning of Mark's gospel, when he says this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus. When you come to the end of Mark's gospel, what's he still telling you? He is telling you good news. World-changing good news that breaks into the ordinary of our lives, what we're used to, and turns it upside down. And it's very simply this morning, I want to try and draw us into the reaction. So if you're signed up to my marketing campaign, if I can get back there. No, I can't. Ethan's going to go back there for me. There you go. If you can get back to my marketing campaign, I want us this morning to kind of be drawn into their reaction And as you say, wow, look at these trembling women. They remind us that something extraordinary happened. Let me just show you three reasons from the story why resurrection is good news, world-changing God news this morning. And the first reason is this. It is good news because the Jesus story is not over. The Jesus story is not over. Back in the day, when they had no catch-up TV, and when you couldn't watch a whole box set in one sitting, and you had to watch a series and you had to wait for the next episode. That's a novelty, isn't it? Anyone remember that day here? Yeah, see, Phil's with me. So you'd be watching this TV series and you'd be watching and you'd half an hour would be coming around and you'd get to this episode and then you'd get on the screen, to be continued, ... And you'd oh no, I have to wait till next week to watch it. Because there was more of the story to come and you kind of had to hang on, you had to wait because there was something else to happen. I remember, this is confession time, I remember enjoying a TV series when I was a kid called Quantum Leap. Does anyone else remember that TV series? What a great TV series. Now here's my confession to my shame. When that series ended, I cried. What? I thought it was good for the soul. Now listen, I cried because there was no more story. When they ran out of episodes and they weren't going to make any more series, I cried because the story was over. But the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and particularly the way Mark tells it to us, leaves a massive to be continued at the end of the story. It leaves a sense that there's more to come. So if you've been hanging around church for a while, you know that some of the other Gospels tell you a little bit more about the resurrection. They tell you about the disciples meeting Jesus, but not Mark. He kind of just leaves it hanging. Jesus, he's alive. Go and tell the disciples. But it hints here that there's more to come. The story is not over. You see, for these women, the story was over, wasn't it? In their heads, the story had ended. The series had come to an end. The Jesus story had finished. You see, flip back to me to chapter 15 and verse 41. What goes on? In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up to help with him in Jerusalem were also there. They'd come with Jesus. They'd followed the story. They'd followed the whole series up to this point. And what had they just witnessed? That Jesus had bodily, physically died. And then they see where he's buried. 15 verse 47. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. They saw him dead. They saw him buried. And then on chapter 16 verse 1, they get up early in the morning because they're going to do what they could do. They were going to say their goodbyes. They were going to anoint Jesus' body. You see, for these women, the story was over. It was game over. It was Jesus' story come to an end. It was a sad ending. They didn't expect it at the time that it came. But this was the end for them. But as they go to the tomb, they didn't find Jesus. Instead, they encounter a string of extraordinary events that reveal to them that Jesus' story is not over yet. So look what they do. They get to the tomb and the stone's rolled away. This is a big stone, miraculously just rolled away from the tomb. Look at verse 5. They enter the tomb and there's a young man, probably an angel, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. I love that. That's really understated, isn't it? Can you imagine walking into a room, a tomb especially, and then seeing a man, an angel there? They were alarmed? I think so. They were alarmed. And they're given a message that the same Jesus who had been crucified, who they'd seen nailed to a cross, who they'd seen die, now lives. He's not there. See where he's laid. He's not here. He is bodily raised up to life. And then they receive a message that they're going to see him again soon. See, that's not ordinary, is it? And suddenly this story where they thought there's no more series, as the episode has come to an end, this Jesus story has finished, suddenly they're in this world where there's a to be continued. Because what's next? Jesus lives. Mark really wants us to understand, as he writes this gospel for us, that the Jesus story does not end with the cross. That the Jesus story does not end with him being buried in a tomb. But actually what he wants us to understand is that the Jesus story carries on today. Mark 1 verse 1, when we flick there, you don't have to turn back there. But it's really important, because listen to what he says. He says, the beginning of the gospel, the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Just one word, but it gives away something very dramatic. This is the beginning of the gospel. What you have recorded for you on your laps in Mark's gospel is the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have his teaching, his miracles, you have his words, you have his mission. You can read what he came to do. And as you read this gospel, Mark goes to great lengths to show you that Jesus is the Messiah. Now we might think, hang on, that's a bit of a weird title, I don't get that. But Jesus is the one who came into this world to be God's saving king for a humanity that badly needs saving from the way they have treated God. And Jesus, throughout this gospel, is the one who forgives sins. He forgives, you know, there's one story where he shows with great power that he has authority to forgive sins. And Mark, through his gospel, this story he tells, goes to great lengths to help us to understand he is the Son of God. The God-man. Now that's mind-bending, that is mind-stretching. But that's, as you go through Mark's gospel, the picture you get of Jesus. The one who saves and the one who is God. And these come together in one man, the God-man Jesus, who goes to the cross in order to forgive people of their sins. And what Mark records for us in the gospel is the beginning of the Jesus story. It's the first episode, as you like. But actually, he then tells us that Jesus is risen, because he wants us to understand that we live in episode 2. Jesus is alive. All that you see Jesus do in the gospels is what he carries on doing today, because he lives. Do you understand that? His words, his teaching, his life. One of the first things that we hear Jesus saying in the Gospels is repent and believe. That's his mission. In Mark 1:15, you hear Jesus say repent and believe. That means turn from this life you've lived that leaves God out of everything, that does things your own way, and turn and believe the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who was crucified for our sins but now lives. Believe that good news. And the Jesus who preached that when he was on earth in Mark's gospel is the Jesus who's still calling men and women today to repent and believe. Why? Because the Jesus story's not over. Why is this room filled with people who believe in Jesus? Because the Jesus story's not over. Jesus lives, and all over this world, Jesus is calling men and women to himself. Now, if he'd have died and he was still in a tomb, that would not be the case. But he lives, and the story's not over. And actually, this good news of the resurrection is good news because it means that today, Jesus carries on doing what he did in Mark's gospel. Forgiving people. Helping people, leading people, loving people. The Jesus of the Gospels is the Jesus of today. We live in episode 2. And I want to ask you this morning, perhaps you're here and this is new to you. I want to say to you, will you let Jesus... Will you believe in the one who is the Son of God, who is the Messiah, the one who rose from the dead? Will you repent and believe? And as Christians, the fact that there's an empty tomb on Sunday, that Sunday, is good news, because it means we're not wasting our time. Do you understand that? We are not wasting our time today because Jesus lives. The Jesus story continues, and he's still gathering men and women. And those people that we pray for, those community that we give our invites to, all that, Jesus is still at work. We are not wasting our time sitting here and believing in him, and we are not wasting our time as we go out and we tell others about him. The resurrection is good news because the Jesus story continues today. Second reason the resurrection is good news from our little story is very simply this. It's good news for failures. The resurrection, the fact that Jesus lives, is good news for failures. Just look with me at verse 7. So the women, they come to this tomb. Jesus isn't there. He's alive. The story's carrying on. And then look at verse 7. Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The women on that morning were told to deliver a message. And they were told to deliver a message to, if you look carefully there, to the disciples and Peter. Now the disciples, if you'd been here on Friday, we would have read this whole story together. But you'll know the story. The disciples abandoned Jesus. The disciples had really blown it. They'd really kind of left Jesus alone, and they turned away. And in their hearts, they were probably thinking, oh man, we are terrible. And probably in their hearts, all they were longing to do was to say sorry to Jesus. But in their heads, well, he's dead and buried, and now we'll never get that chance, and we've blown it. And then there's Peter. Peter, one of the disciples, but Peter, in probably more spectacular way, had denied Jesus three times. He had said, this is a man who'd walked with Jesus for 3 years, who'd been closer to Jesus than anybody else. And on the night when the pressure came, what did he do? He said, I don't know Jesus. These were men who'd blown it. These were men who were failures. They said, yeah, we're followers of Jesus, but they messed up. And actually, verse 7, when you understand that, verse 7 is such a gentle message, isn't it? Can you imagine this message coming into Camp Disciple? I mean, maybe Peter wasn't even with them. Maybe he was so ashamed. He would have taken himself off somewhere else because he thought, I can't even possibly begin to imagine that everything's all right here. He was so disappointed with himself. But actually, this message is so gentle. Go and tell his disciples and Peter that I'm going to go ahead of them. Jesus says, I'm going to gather you guys together. And actually, who is it that Jesus wants to gather together? Have you thought about this? Who does he want to lead as he rises from the dead? Who is it he wants to gather back and call his disciples? He gathers failures. He gathers people who blow it over and over again. And I don't mean to insult you, but actually, do you know what? This is a room of failures. And I'm the biggest standing at the front here. This is a room of people who over and over again have blown it. Christians are not people who, followers of Jesus are not people who have it all sorted, who claim to be perfect. No, Christians are people who've blown it, but who Jesus restores. And the resurrection's good news for people like us because it means that he restores people who blow it over and over again. He restores disciples like Peter and the others who abandoned Jesus, who messed up in various ways. And because he was crucified, because he took the punishment for our failures, he can now say, come and gather in. You guys are my disciples. You're my followers. And do you know what? On Easter Sunday, I am really grateful for that message. But the resurrection means restoration for sinners like us. Jesus lives, Jesus forgives, and Jesus restores people like us. And if you get to know someone who claims to be a Christian or you are a Christian, you'll know that you go over and over this cycle in life, that you blow it again, you let Jesus down in some way. But the resurrection story, this snippet of the disciples and Peter, and Jesus gathers them, that encourages us that he's got time and love for people like us, and he can restore us. And he keeps restoring us to relationship with him. And so I don't know this morning, I don't know how you've come to Easter Sunday. Maybe you've come a bit heavy hearted. Maybe you've come burdened by something that you've done in your life and you're thinking, well, Jesus can't possibly love me now. Jesus can't possibly want me to be a disciple. Maybe you're even a bit embarrassed to come to church this morning. Can I tell you that the resurrection is good news for you? Because Jesus loves to restore people who blow it. He restores failures. The resurrection is lovely news for sinners like us. That restoration that we first experienced when we came to Jesus and repented and believed, and he said, come and be one of my disciples, is the restoration we go on experiencing as we seek to be disciples of Jesus. Easter Sunday is good news for failures. And thirdly, Easter Sunday is good news that is to be shared with others. Emma, my wife, occasionally gets emails from the money saving expert. Anyone else get emails from them? Maybe it's just us trying to save money. But there's this email thing that where this guy kind of finds all the best deals that you can get, and then an email pops up in your inbox and says, you've got to get this deal. This is the best thing ever. You know, you'll save more money if you do this than anything else. And, you know, we get all excited about these emails and think, oh, maybe we can save some money on our phone or whatever it is. And they pop up, and then suddenly when you've got something that's worth sharing, you just go and tell it to people, don't you? That's what you do instinctively. Oh, you've got to get this deal with BT at the moment. They're giving you loads of money off. Or you've got to get this, you've got to get that. We love to share something that's good news. And actually, the resurrection of Jesus is something so good, something so God, something so out of the ordinary. These trembling women remind us of that it has to be shared with our world. Look again at verse 7. The women, as they go to this tomb, are told to go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. These ordinary women, they were just normal women who'd spent time with Jesus. But these ordinary women are told to carry a message to broken disciples. And it was a message they really needed to hear. Jesus lives. That's the message they had to carry. Jesus forgives, and Jesus wants to restore you to relationship with him. And friends, that is the message that our broken world on this Easter Sunday needs to hear. That Jesus lives, he forgives, and he restores sinners to a relationship with him. That is the message that we're to take to our world. Resurrection was good news that these women were meant to share, and resurrection of Jesus is good news that we're meant to share today. But sadly, like these women, sometimes fear makes us shut up rather than speak up. Fear keeps us silent. You think about it like this, but I don't know if you've ever had that experience of trying to talk to somebody about the resurrection and just feeling, this sounds crazy. A man who died and then rose again, who was the Son of God. And maybe just the very fact that it sounds crazy, it sounds so out of the ordinary, just makes you think, I can't share this with someone because they're just going to laugh at me. And maybe the fear of what people think will keep you silent. Maybe it's just fear that as we speak up about us needing restoration, you know, it's not popular to tell someone they're wrong, is it? It's the first words on Jesus' lips, repent. It's not a popular message, but maybe we're so fearful about saying that to people. Look, you're not in the right with God. You know, you may be a nice person, you may be the nicest person I've ever met, but you're not sorted with God who made you. You know, actually, it's not easy to say something like that, is it, to someone? And fear of telling someone that we think they're wrong is something that can keep us silent sometimes. And we're fearful perhaps that we might get into trouble at work. You know, there's so much pressure these days, isn't on us, to be careful where we talk about our faith. You know, Nick and I got a booklet in the post this week about kind of places that you can speak about Jesus and places that you can't in our country, which would probably shock some of you if you read it. You know, at certain places you can be arrested. We could be arrested for going to talk about Jesus. And such fear of such things, can keep us from speaking up. But the resurrection, this story, these women, they teach us that it's good news that is to be shared with others. Fear can hold us back. Fear can keep us silent. Look at verse 8. You see, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, the story goes on. You read the other Gospels, they did actually go and tell some people. But at this point, we're left hanging because it's just like, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that message about Jesus? What are you going to do with the good news that he lives, that the story's not over, that he still forgives people? What are you going to do with that message? We have a gospel to proclaim. And fear will either keep us silent, or we can get out and we can proclaim this good news with his help. You know, the thing I love about this story, and I want you to take encouragement from this morning, is who does Jesus use to spread this unbelievably, extraordinarily good news to people. He uses three normal women and a bunch of failure disciples. That's who he picks to spread this message to the world. So you may be sitting here thinking, oh, you know, God can't use me. I can barely string two sentences together. And, you know, God can't use me. I don't even really speak the language around here. You know, God can't use me because dot, dot, dot. Actually, can I tell you, he can use you. And he delights to use you. He delights to use ordinary people to proclaim an extraordinary message to our world. Failure disciples, ordinary women, and he says, go and tell that I live. Go and tell that I forgive. Go and tell that the story's not over. And so let me ask you, will you proclaim Jesus this week? It's Easter Sunday. You know, we gather like this, it's all very comfortable, it's all very cozy. But if you believe that message, the question on Easter Sunday is, are you going to go and are you going to tell? Are you going to tell people about Jesus this week so that they can find out that he's extraordinary news as well? Will you proclaim the good news that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, who was crucified but now lives? Heath, can you take me back to my marketing campaign? Here it goes. There it is. Easter Day. This is my new marketing campaign. What do you remember on that day? I want us to remember three trembling women. Because as you look at that, as you look at those women, it reminds us that what happened on that day was something out of the ordinary. And it was out of the ordinary, extraordinary, good news for people like us. You know, their reaction says it all. Something broke into the normality of our world on that day and it changes everything. The Jesus story is not over. It continues today. It is good news for failures like us because Jesus loves us and restores us and he will keep restoring failures like us, just like he did with his disciples and Peter. And it is good news that we must tell. So you're going to adopt my marketing campaign? It's not really mine, it's Mark's actually, because that's where he lends it. I'm plagiarising. Mark's picture for Easter Sunday, the trembling women. The resurrection is extraordinary good news for ordinary people like us. Let's pray, shall we? And then we'll sing a couple of songs together. God, our Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that his resurrection is fact, it is real, and it is the foundation of our faith. Thank you that because Jesus lives, we are not wasting our time today. We thank you that as we put our faith in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who came to forgive our sins, we thank you that we're not wasting our time. And we thank you that Jesus lives and is at work today in various ways. Thank you that many of us sit here as a testimony to that truth. And Father, we ask that we would please continue to know his gentle, restoring help as we blow it again and again. And Father, we ask especially that you would be pleased to give us boldness this week to tell others about Jesus, that they might find the joy of the resurrection too. Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. Please may we encourage one another in our songs now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of songs as we finish about the truth of the resurrection. Where, O grave, is your victory? One of the great implications of the resurrection is that death has lost its sting. You know, that actually, there's a way through death. Jesus goes ahead of us. And then we're going to sing after that as well. Let's stand and sing together.